Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 30, May 20, 2010.
All right. Well, welcome to the Social Expedition podcast. Dave seems to be a little microphone shy today.
Well, I was reading this word here that said hide, and I was trying to remember what that was. Oh, I know what it was. I know now. Yeah, so anyway, so I'm Dave Barger.
I'm Ansley Phones.
And we're going to talk today, of course, about Facebook again, just because they have so much going on. Google Wave, some upcoming events, and then, you know, a couple of miscellaneous pointers and some stuff, and then also an upcoming boycott that you can participate in.
Which may or may not be more about Facebook.
Oh, that is on Facebook, isn't it? All right. Well, let's see, you took a look at what some of the information was going on out there with Facebook, and you ran across this this very unscientific poll.
Well, it was just a little consumer poll on WallStreetJournal.com. What grade would you give Facebook's handling of users' privacy? And 64.5%, and that's 880 voters, gave them an F. 24.9%, which is 340 voters, said D. And only 20 people gave them an A, so... You know, Wall Street Journal readers, which are, might be prejudiced to say, but probably the more educated people of society, are saying that they don't like this.
Yeah. I'm surprised that there was only 25% or so that gave them a flag. Yeah. But, well, that's interesting. And so evidently they're working on it. They're actually, I was reading yesterday, that Facebook is coming up with some other way to kind of simplify your settings without giving you such granular options. You know, I like the granular options myself. Mm-hmm. So evidently, those options are still going to be available, but there'll be some in between where you can say you don't want any of your information to be public, or just kind of like, you know, blanket type options.
Well, on Tuesday, in an announcement, the head of public policy announced that they're going to be releasing some kind of bans of privacy.
Yeah.
And we're not sure exactly what these bans are going to look like, but it should be something more simplified than going in and, you know, editing who can see your photos, who can see this photo, who can see this album, who can see your status updates. I imagine that they will keep that option if that's the kind of customization you want, but a lot of people just don't have the time or inclination to go digging through all of those settings, so this could be a better option for the more casual Facebook user.
That's what I was talking about, the bans. I didn't see that you had it here, but they come up with a name, huh? Some bans, okay.
Some bans of privacy.
Bans of privacy, yes. What band do you wear? I'm going to imagine that we'll have... there's going to be some kind of connector. You'll have a... You know, I'm a band yellow, and you'll have a Facebook bumper sticker with a yellow on there. Well, hey, so we're not there yet. We're a long ways off, but it'll happen, especially with the facial recognition and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's going on already.
Are they integrating that into Facebook?
No, not yet.
Oh, I thought you meant the...
It'd be a great rumor.
Someone with your camera?
Yeah.
That would be a cool thing to be integrated into Facebook.
It would. I would love it. You know, I would like that integrated into some glasses that I had, you know, because I'm one of those people that I can remember faces for eons, but I'm terrible with names. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are like that.
Well, some glasses like that would be very James Bond, Dave.
Well, you know, if I could just have your name pop up over your face, it's like, oh, yeah. It's Ansley. But this happened to me yesterday, actually. I was giving a presentation over at Lunch and Learn over at the Chamber, and I ran into somebody, and I thought she looked familiar, or the name sounded very familiar, but I couldn't quite place her. And so at the end of the session, I saw her again, and she remembered. It was like the light went off, or came on, whatever. And 15 years ago, I had worked with her on a website for the Consumer Credit Counseling Services in Memphis. She didn't look any different. However, I'm sure I have changed. Yeah.
I hope the website looks a little different now.
Oh, yeah. So I think they wound up having to go to, you know, use the corporate version. You know, this was kind of at the time they were a rogue chapter, and they were leaping out there and getting into this whole new thing called the web. And anyway, it's interesting.
That didn't work out for them. That web thing never went anywhere.
and so they thought. And I also talked to another person there who was at the thing yesterday, and it's kind of a similar situation. I was in a meeting with her talking about social with a few other people. And I think all of them looked at me like, you're a crazy geek, Dave. You know, no, why would anybody do this Twitter thing? Or, you know, I think at the time it was MySpace when I was first bringing it up. So it was dismissed. Social was dismissed here in the last few years, just like the web was being dismissed in the mid-90s. Same kinds of things. So anyway, I seem to be making a career out of people looking at me funny. But all right. So yeah, sometimes you just have to endure. Anyhow, so what else we got going on with Facebook? Okay, we put over on our Facebook fan page, and I don't know that I'm ever going to lose that phrase, the fan page. I'm not going to call it a like page. But our Facebook fan page, we added a little video yesterday that can show people how, if they have fan pages, how they can go determine the number of people who have hidden their updates. This is very key, because business needs more feedback, and people are more private about giving constructive criticism. And so you have these new channels that are open, you know, through the social realm to get feedback and hear what people have to say. But yet at the same time, a lot of people weren't raised that way to give constructive criticism feedback in public. They'll tell you how great you were in public, but people just aren't comfortable. They may come off as being rude if they're letting you know, hey, you know, this would have been better if you had done it like this, or make a suggestion. So that's kind of an interesting challenge. But anyhow, one of the things that people can do is if you become a fan of a business, of course, those updates will show up in your stream inside of Facebook. And if those are too frequent, or if they turn out to be obnoxious, or for whatever reason, you can remain a fan of that particular business, but you can choose to hide those updates, just like you can choose to hide updates from your friends.
I wonder what the impetus behind that really is, though, why you wouldn't just unlike it.
Go back to the business and unlike it? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It's just kind of like, you know, maybe it's a temporary thing. Maybe they give you the option to unhide something. So let's say this happens with conferences, especially in the tech world. You'll see, you know, we see this all the time. It's like, okay, Dave goes to South by Southwest. He's just squawking on and on about South by Southwest and this, that, and the other thing, and all day long, blah, blah, blah. And people that are not there, they begin to care less. So they may want to pay attention to me after I'm done yakking about South by Southwest, so give it a few days, and then maybe if they miss me, maybe they can unhide me at that point, if they happen to think about it. So I can see why there's times where you'd want to temporarily do something. But then also, you know, because we're polite, I don't like the little things that you have to say, but I don't want to hide you. I don't want to unfriend you or unfriend my relatives.
I suppose, but I mean, defriending someone is a little bit more of a personal slap than unfriend or unliking a business.
You know, and I think here's something that comes into play on that whole business front. And Rachel and I were talking about this yesterday after this presentation. It's a completely different story when you're talking about a huge, you know, say the Fortune 500 companies. They're very impersonal. Their logos, there's not really a face there. As opposed to, let's say, a local small business who is run, you know, by a couple of individuals, or maybe even it's a family business. And the way that you're going to interact and be concerned about unfriending them because they're unfollowing or unliking that business, it's a little bit more personal than unliking Coca-Cola. So the size of the business is a huge factor in this whole small town, social, have relationships, engagement type of things that you can have. Because big businesses, it's very hard to scale. In fact, people who become web celebrities have this problem. When they're small and they have their little tribe, their following, their fans that follow them, it's very easy for them to engage them and be able to, you know, to have a community with them, to commune with them, to talk with them, to really see them as individuals. And so that can lead to additional popularity, and the scaling, when you're scaling up, and now you're still that one person, but you've got all these other people who want your attention, who respect you, and they want to be seen by you as well. They want some reciprocation. It's very difficult to scale. So you may have to have other people who are helping you out. And there's this huge problem, this huge question of scale that you'll see talked about out there quite often. And that's when somebody's going from that smaller thing, that smaller community, and because it's now grown in popularity, this much larger thing, your approach has to be different. You can't do that. You have to sleep. You have to do whatever it is that you do day in and day out.
Right.
You know, to support this community. So a lot of stuff yet to be learned in that whole area of size and scale.
With the insights update, though, you can you cannot see who has blocked your updates, right?
Well, you cannot see who. And
just
before,
numbers.
You didn't know how many people hid your stuff. And I've hidden a few people myself. I tend to hide applications, but so before you had no idea if you were being hidden or not. You could see how many fans you had, but you didn't know how many of those fans had actually hidden your updates because they deemed you obnoxious some one way or another. But now you can see how many over time. So you may recall, or now you can at least pay attention to it. Let's say next week you're getting ready for a big campaign. It's like, well, we need to put these updates out a few times a day because we got people who are on there in the morning, and so we'll catch them in the morning. And well, we need to send the update out in around lunchtime because that's a time when a lot of people get on Facebook. And then we need to do something kind of early evening, and then later in the evening. And those tend to be, you know, some high traffic points. Well, if we don't send our update out four times, then we're going to miss some people. So do we miss some people, or do we send it out four times? If we send it out four times, somebody who's a fan of ours but doesn't have many friends, it may that particular post may show up four times on that one page and warrant some hiding, because at that point we would appear to be very verbose or whatever to that individual. So it really depends. There's no steadfast rule. You know, it really depends on your audience. You know, you may have people who get online only in the evening. So what you may do to perturb them enough to hide you could be completely different for the company next door, who has a mm-hmm. different audience with different surfing habits and times and amounts of friends. So there's not going to be everybody needs to look at this number for themselves and set their own baseline and then pay attention to it. But I'm sure somebody's going to come up with a formula. You know, oh, it doesn't need to be any higher than 5%. If you're doing it more than if you have more than 5% people hiding you, you're doing it all wrong. Well, you know, that's a crock. Yeah. All right. So anyway, check it out. Facebook.lunaweb.com. That'll take you to our fan page. And there's this like little quick video. I think it's like 2.5 minutes to show you how to check those things out. So what else we have going on here? We've got Google. Wait, we're going to talk about something other than Facebook? Because this is like the Facebook expedition.
But right? Only for a moment, because it's just a really quick update. Google has their I/O, I'm guessing it's their power conference,
okay.
Is what it's supposed to be a cute representation for. And they announced today that Google Wave is going to be open to anyone that wants to sign up. But the other news is that we still don't know what it's for. So apparently there are some updates. It's been made a little more user-friendly, but still a little confusing as to its applicability.
Wow. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people who don't want to mess with it. Okay, fine, it's great. But we're so burnt out on all these. The things that we do have, they keep changing because they keep updating and mm-hmm. upgrading. And we have no choice, with a lot of these technologies, because they're in the cloud and the cloud's updated. It's not like, oh, it's software on our computers and it's like, no, I'm going to keep this version. I'm not going to download the upgrade. You can't, there's no way around it. So with all this change going on, they haven't had a chance to get comfortable. So now that Buzz is available, and they've already, popped our tires with, their initial release of Buzz, I don't think people are just going to go swarm into it. I saw an update yesterday from a couple of people about how Google Gmail is going to be like the Facebook killer.
That's what I heard, that you can integrate your Facebook and Twitter friends into your GChat. And mm-hmm. so Gmail is apparently trying to be the Facebook, Twitter, Gmail amalgamator.
Now, your chat, you use
oh,
chat.
Yeah.
Really? You use GChat?
Yes.
And do you use Facebook chat?
I use Facebook chat less. I only use it when other people Facebook chat me, and it usually takes me about 15 minutes to respond because I don't realize that it's there.
Right.
That anyone has contacted me. But I'm also a little bit retro because I still use AOL Instant Messenger.
Really?
As well.
You're so old-fashioned.
Well, it's what my mom has caught in, too, so that's how I talk to her.
Well, AIM's been around a long time.
Yes.
Do they still call it AIM?
Yes, they do.
Okay. All right. Well, and you do that on your phone as well?
No, just on my computer, AIM.
Oh, okay. Do you do any kind of chatting on your phone?
I look at my Facebook updates and my Twitter updates, but I have the option of signing up, or I can sign into GChat on my phone, but
okay.
I prefer not to.
Gotcha.
There's a certain point at which I need to be a little bit unreachable.
Well, maybe we can put more on your plate, keep you more occupied, because I tell you, what happens to me is I turn that stuff off because it's very interruptive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I'm trying to get stuff done. The normal interruptions that I have to deal with, you know, are part of doing business, you know, so somebody calls, a phone call requires your immediate attention. But to have a little chat window pop up and says, hey, Dave wants to talk to you. He's like, no, Dave, I'm not here. You know, so I usually turn that stuff off just so that people know that I'm not available.
Even
that.
On your computer?
I'm talking about my computer, yeah. I don't think I'd ever put it on the phone. But I do a lot of texting. I'm happy with that, and it seems to work with a lot of folks.
To be good enough for my phone. I get my email and text on my phone, and that's enough of an interruption.
Yeah, we got clients that are the same way, who don't want to talk. They don't want to talk on the phone. They don't want to email. They're just happy with SMS. So we kind of have to be, flexible and connect with people where they want to be connected with. Luckily, so far, that hasn't been much on the chat side of things. Years and years ago, there's this thing called LivePerson, where on the website, you can put a little person that, you know, you can talk to a representative now and have a little chat window. And so we tried that. This is probably 8 years ago. People weren't very receptive to that. We would be looking at that again here, in the next couple of years. But I think people kind of, they can warm up to that. Depending on how the chat is, as long as it's not interruptive. I'm one for, if I can go to a website and I can choose to talk to your representative, I click something, I'm opting in, I need help, I want to ask a question. That is fine with me. But when I go into the website, like walking in the door, and a chat window comes up and somebody's barking at me like, hey, can I help you find something? It's just like being in the store. And I wasn't expecting it, so it's an unexpected interruption. You know, if I drive onto a car lot, I expect, somebody to come up to me and ask me if I could find something. That's fine. I don't like that either, but I put up with it. But going to a website and having somebody jump out at me and want to engage me in a chat, no. I don't like that. Now I'm uncomfortable on your website, So, and I know a lot of people are that way.
I don't know of any sites that do that, like, without you clicking, I need to talk to a representative.
Well, that's good. Sorry. Yay for you.
I haven't run into it.
Yeah, because it's very interruptive.
Because that service works well for some customer service things. I know, like DirecTV, Verizon does that, and that works out very well, but... Yeah, no, I certainly wouldn't like it if I just visited their site and all of a sudden I have a person trying to talk to me. Yeah. This kind of ties into the presentation that you gave yesterday about loudspeaker marketing and using social media for projecting at a customer.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about chat. This is a segue into social media, but...
It's a good segue.
It's...
Nice job, Ansley.
It has a lot to do with your presentation.
Well... one of the things, there are a couple of points that I made there that I really wanted to try and drive home with folks. One is, there were like 80 people there, standing room only. People obviously looking for answers. Some folks were just getting started. So I tried to pull the room beforehand to see, okay, what kinds of questions do you have and things that you're hoping I'm going to touch on today. And so they were quite varied. But one of the things that I did get to drive home is that business is a guest. In the whole social realm, this is a community of people, and so business needs to understand that it is there as a guest. It does not get to drive, power, or conquer the conversation. It is not there for business to reign over somehow. Business is a guest to the people that are there. So there was that, and then I got to talk about step zero. We've been kind of talking about this concept. A little bit, step zero. And in fact, this whole hide thing that we were talking about with Facebook a few moments ago was with step zero. And that is, we have some tolerance for business to tell us businessy stuff, promotional type things, things that are going to wind up ultimately giving them more business. And so we can accept some of that. But when you become abusive with it and you give us too much, you exceed that level, you're like taking advantage of what in essence is a generosity that we've extended to business. And it's offensive. And so many businesses are out there offending their communities right now. And so a lot of them, their people are ignoring them or they're being hid.
They're experiencing high rates of being hid, possibly over 5%. I think it's also interesting to note, because you made another point in your presentation about using social media first and foremost to build a relationship with your existing clients, which presumably are the people who have already fanned you or liked you. If you have a high rate of being hidden, then maybe you haven't done such a good job of interacting or respecting your current clientele, which we would argue is much more important than trying to reach out to new clients, because your existing clients not only are keeping whatever your business is afloat, but, you know, a referral to a new, a potential customer from one of your existing clients is going to have so much more weight than whatever marketing you're sending out. So, you know, if your existing client says they do a good job, then that is going to be a much stronger recommendation than your Facebook status that they happen to see that says we're great.
Yeah, and this kind of ties into this notion of everybody you talk to does not have enough time for this. They already had plenty. They already had too much going on, and now you want to put the social media burden on them, which takes time to do this stuff. So people only have a finite amount of time. So if you have to kind of slice and dice and figure out, okay, who am I going to interact with and who am I not, by golly, you need to be interacting with the folks who are putting the bread and butter on your table.
Absolutely.
You need to be taking care of those folks. So, and not trying to go get new business. If you take care of the clients that you have and nurture those relationships, then other business will happen all by itself. It just is a natural thing. The other factor, just like you're saying, is those clients have more influence on new business than you do. You know, in this, in essence, you're the man. And people have been let down. The trust, you know, there's no trust left there. Very little for the man. There's a lot of skepticism, I guess. You know, a lot of, okay, I know you're trying to sell me, so my marketing antibodies are in full swing. You know, I'm on the lookout for you. My immune system's up. My shields are there. You know, go ahead. Tell me your stuff. But I'm catching it all with a grain of salt, right? Definitely, first stop, take care of your existing clients. Next thing, start using those social tools within the organization. Help the organization out, because there are barriers within your organization, even if it's just an organization of two. You can get off base with two people. If you're married, you know this. You know, it only takes two people to somehow miscommunicate something. And so being a little bit more transparent about what's going on in the organization can also even, so you can introduce some of these social tools to people at work. And for some people who don't do the Facebook thing at home and they're not ever going to mess with Twitter, their first experience into a social network or a microblog such as a Twitter is going to, can be within the organization. So it's like, oh, Twitter, yeah, that's like Yammer that we use at work, or Socialcast that we use, you know, at work, that kind of thing. So sometimes using these social tools within the organization can be an initial exposure to people into the benefits of social media, because it's not just a sales and marketing type of a tool. So those were the two big things, like, you know, connect with your existing clients. Then use these tools inside. You can almost skip you trying to use these tools right now to go gain market share. There's so much noise going on out there. In fact, I had a great slide that you put together of these elephants for the whole stampede, you know, and that was very effective. And that's what it feels like out there. You just, all these requests to become a fan of other things and whatnot. It almost feels like some days there's more business out there, more businesses on Facebook and Twitter than people. That's a sad thing. Anyway, so they're making too much noise, and they're often hard to ignore. So then the last thing, of course, was Facebook privacy. We talked about that.
We do talk about that a lot.
Well, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and it's becoming a bigger deal. Facebook is going to wind up on the legislation board. It's going to wind up being regulated. Right now, we don't have laws for those types of things. So we need, people are working on inventing new laws to address these consumer complaints of privacy and whatnot. There's a fantastic post by Dana Boyd that maybe we should link to on this podcast. It's a very long post, but she's the master. And she gets in, she really kind of breaks it down and explains how Facebook has become a utility. And because it's a utility, because people can't hardly live without it, people have walked away from it and come back to it because they can't stay away from it. They have to have it. It's like water. It's like electricity.
Oh my.
And being that they've become this utility type of a thing in our society, in our country, they warrant regulation, and the government will need to regulate them. Anyway, so hey, we're getting down into the last few minutes of we've got
we definitely want to let you know, with all of these Facebook privacy issues, we are encouraging participation in Facebook Free Friday. Information can be found at facebookfreefriday.com. The idea is the Friday before Memorial Day, that is May 28th, is going to be Facebook free, and then as long as you can stand it through the weekend. And if you will go to facebookfreefriday.com, there's a link to the Facebook page, and you can like it on the page, and you can go to our Twitter account and use hashtag FFF and talk about it. We are encouraging as much conversation about this on social media, on Facebook, as we can, because it's not anti-Facebook. It's not against using Facebook. We like Facebook, but we don't like what they're doing. And we want to send our message to Facebook using Facebook. So go to the website. Go to the website, like the page, like us on Facebook. We want to send this message home to Facebook that abusing our privacy will not be tolerated.
Yeah. All right. Kind of a passive boycott. It's a 3-day weekend. Spend more time with your family.
Yeah.
Hey, unplug for a little bit. It'll be good.
It is supposed to rain this week.
No, that's next weekend.
Oh, it's next weekend. It's not supposed to rain this weekend. Go out and enjoy the sun. Don't Facebook.
Right. Okay, so in addition to that, let's see, tonight?
Tonight we have Twilight Camp. That's tonight, May 20th at 5:30 at Davis Kidd. And that's just very casual. It's free. Just show up with any questions or ideas that you have about social media, and we will have a great conversation.
Yeah, show up with your rants. This is for, you know, for newbies and those expeditionaries also. And then also on June 2nd, we have Melissa Moon going to be joining us for the breakfast. She is our guest speaker, going to talk to us about how they're using social tools over there. So that'll be awesome. That's June the 2nd, which is the first Wednesday of every month.
And you can RSVP for that at meetup.com/socialexpedition. And I think that's about it, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That's good. So, hey, we'll see you. Our next show will be the last one in May. So it's not quite going to be June yet, but gosh, it's right around the corner.
Oh, so soon.
Take care. Check those privacy settings.
Bye now.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.